give you more bang for your buck. You'll find the conveniences of digital tools, plus more ways to stretch your dollar than those big national banks. It's a great way to enjoy prime living. Visit them in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
News Network. I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. The Alabama legislature has passed the nation's most restrictive abortion law. It makes performing an abortion a felony with almost no exceptions. Opponents say they will file legal challenges to the bill. Montgomery Public School officials say Park Crossing High School was vandalized and they believe students are responsible. MPS officials say they caught over 20 students on video. MPS Superintendent Dr. Ann Roy Moore says the students will be punished, including keeping seniors from walking at graduation. And the city of Selma is receiving a $1 million federal grant to help curb violent crime. A committee is in place to decide how to distribute the money. Officials say they have 18 months to utilize the grant money. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Discover's going further with Miles Rewards than we've ever gone before. Like sun on your face, book in your hand, kids playing in the sand further. Because the Discover It Miles card offers unlimited 1.5 miles on every purchase and will automatically match all the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Plus no blackout dates. Just buy your ticket and use your miles to credit your statement. Get out there with your Discover It Miles card today. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel.
Want a more beautiful lawn this season? The Home Depot has a few suggestions in one bag. Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action, starting at just $26.68. It feeds your lawn, it weeds your lawn, and it prevents crabgrass for up to 4 months. Three of the most common lawn problems, one great solution. Today is the day for doing with Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action, starting at just $26.68 a bag. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, continental U.S. only.
A new month is with us, the month of spring and growth, the fifth month of the year, and also the month in which huge and important celebrations take place. I'm Dick Brubaker, and we're celebrating in May with the Bigger Things sales event at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. What could be bigger than getting up to $12,645 off a new 2019 Ram 1500 Bighorn Quad Cab? More space, more storage, more leather, more technology. The all-new 2019 Ram 1500 is truly the best combination of grit and grace. At Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we have locations in Montgomery and Prattville. You can check out our inventory right now online at brubaker.com and come join us for the Bigger Things sales event. Save up to $12,645 on an all-new 2019 Ram 1500 Bighorn Quad Cab. Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Plus tax, tag, title, and fee. Stock number R9104. See dealer details. Offer ends 5/20/19.
Hey, River Region, Dave Ramsey here. We all want a good-looking yard, right? Unfortunately, not everyone can afford to hire professional landscapers. But there are some great ways to do it yourself, save lots of cash, and have a yard you love that adds value to your home. I'm talking about going to see the experts at Southern Homes and Gardens right here in Montgomery. Southern Homes and Gardens can help you add curb appeal to your tired yard, make over your backyard, or upgrade your outdoor furniture at unbelievable prices. And if they grow the plants, you don't pay tax. How about that for value? You're saving 10% right off the top. Folks, sticking to a budget doesn't mean you should settle for no curb appeal. Give Southern Home and Garden a call today. 334-387-0440. That's 334-387-0440. Or visit southernhomesandgardens.com and tell them Dave sent you. Call 334-387-0440.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
two planes colliding. Tourists on those sightseeing planes over Alaska. One plane sank into the water. The pontoons of the other can be seen floating near the shore there.
Faced with a subpoena, the president's son is agreeing to go another round, striking a deal to testify again before the Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee.
The tributes pouring in for legendary comedian Tim Conway, who died at 85. He made generations of Americans laugh.
A suspected serial killer who worked at carnivals is behind bars. Police in Washington County, Virginia say 23-year-old James Michael Wright admitted to killing three women.
Mr. President, are you planning to send 120,000 troops to the Middle East in response to Iran?
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
College admissions cheating scandal, former USC soccer coach Laura Jahnke pleading guilty, admitting she took bribes to create fake athletic profiles.
And San Francisco became the first U.S. city to ban police or the government from using facial recognition technology.
Four times in my life, America's been at war. That's a tragic waste of lives. And it makes you realize how desperately the world needs a lasting peace. Just across the hall here in the White House is the Roosevelt Room, named after the two Roosevelts who served here, one a Republican, one a Democrat. Many decisions are made in that room. And often as I meet with my staff, I gaze up at the five service flags, each representing one of the five military services. And draped from each flag are battle streamers, signifying every battle campaign fought since the Revolutionary War. Each ribbon a remembrance of a time when American men and women spilled their blood into the soil of distant lands. My fondest hope for this presidency is that the people of America give us the continued opportunity to pursue a peace so strong and so lasting that we'd never again have to add another streamer to those flags.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday. What a gorgeous day outside, by the way. It's spectacular this morning. 76 degrees outside. Let me check out the stock market. Stock market is up. Oh, no, my phone's not acting right. It's up 117 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself. The one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How are you doing today, big guy?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I am outstanding. Except for a little tax issue, I'm doing great. We got several announcements we have to hit. Number one, on Saturday and Sunday at Fresh Market, they are doing a feed the poor type thing, and what they're doing is they'll have like hot dogs on sale for Saturday or Sunday, $2 each. Giant gourmet cookies, $1. Watermelon pie slice kits, $3. Chips, $1. A bottle of water, $1. Specialty drinks, $2. Hubbard's lemon pie, $1.50. And I tell you what, I'd jump all over those hot dogs for that amount of money. That's hot dogs for $2. I'm going to jump on that for sure. Several notes here. Big announcement here. We have a patron to the show that has donated 20 Damar Show get-together cruise tickets. You can go to my website, damarshow.com. You can ask for one or two, and there's a sign-up area there. If you don't have access to a computer, call me here at 272-9228, but we'll go to the first group of people that that he's paid for this thing. So I really appreciate them doing that. That was very, very thoughtful of this person who's a patron to the show. But go to danmorrisshow.com and you can sign up for a free ticket. They're going to ask you for your email address so we can get back in contact with you. Or you can call here at 272-9228. We're going to need your telephone number, name and telephone number, so I can call you back and let you know whether you got it or not. Because if we have it oversubscribed, we're going to do random number generator. Let's do this. I said last night, we'll see what happens with the nightly news on this Durham thing, which, by the way, is just absolutely huge. Networks are completely ignoring this. Let's listen to the NBC Nightly News opener.
Tonight, inside a mid-air disaster, two planes filled with passengers apparently slammed into each other in the skies over Alaska. Tourists on a popular cruise ship excursion, at least four people are dead, 10 others pulled alive from the wreckage. Tonight, the search for passengers still missing. This accident coming less than a year after another high-profile crash involving the same company. An alarming new report about U.S. military options for Iran, including the possible deployment of up to 120,000 troops to the Middle East. What President Trump is saying about that tonight. The new vote on what would be the most restrictive abortion law in America, effectively outlawing the procedure. Doctors who perform abortions could face 99 years in prison. Why proponents say they want the case to go to the Supreme Court. It was a moment on the mat that brought people to tears. Tonight, our return visit to dad and son who captured so many hearts. An eye-opening look at the heavy emotional toll all that time apart is taking on military families. And banning Big Brother. It's one of the newest tools being used to fight crime. But one big city says facial recognition technology is going too far.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Okay, so not one mention of Durham being appointed as the a U.S. Attorney prosecutor looking at the FISA warrant issue. Not one mention of it. Now, you did hear out of that story, I mean, we had plane crashes in Alaska. Oh, that's of great importance to everybody in the entire country out here. What, like, don't take, private tours of wooded areas type thing. So, but they did do the abortion piece on here. So let's listen to the abortion story the way the NBC News played it last night. Alabama abortion, I think it's called.
Alabama, NBC, Nightly, Texas, McCallum.
I know it was in there, but I'll have to go back and look. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tea Party Becky to get a report.
Hey, how are you guys today?
We're great. How are you today?
I am good, and I'm looking forward to the get-together tomorrow night.
Me, too. It's going to be great to see you.
It's going to be a beautiful night, too. I'm looking forward to it.
I know.
I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a action update about what it was like here in the gallery to watch that abortion bill debate yesterday. It started at 4 o'clock, and I will tell you that the gallery where we are allowed to sit above the floor and kind of watch what's happening was probably 90% abortion activists and 10% pro-lifers.
Oh, really?
And I was a little surprised at that. I mean, they just came in, but they were clapping, laughing. When Senator Chambliss began talking about the bill, they all started laughing. And it got a little crazy in the gallery, which they don't really put up with a lot of stuff in the gallery. I was kind of surprised that the security guards didn't do anything. Well, Vivian Figures is one of the senators that the pro-abortionists love, and she has her little following. And she actually came upstairs and she said, I just want to make an announcement that you guys need to calm down up here. They will kick you out, and I do not want to see anyone have to miss this. And they all said, oh, thank you for telling us. And, you know, they calmed down a little bit after that. But as the night wore on, they started getting a little bit loud again. Just inappropriate. You know, they would, you know how you want to say a bad word and you sort of sneeze to make the bad word?
Right.
Okay, I heard some of that right behind me. By Chambliss would say something on the floor, and then they would say the BS word under the guise of a sneeze. And I was a little frustrated by that. But the different amendments that were offered, that was very interesting for those who didn't listen. One of the amendments that was offered would make vasectomies a Class C felony. That failed.
Kidding me?
Another one was they wanted that all the legislators who pass this bill, who vote for this bill, have to pay for the lawsuits personally that are going to come once this bill is made into law. That one failed as well.
Well, I can imagine
another
that.
One was to expand Medicaid. That one failed. And then there was the amendment for rape and incest, which failed as well. But Senator Pro Tem Del Marsh, Senator Cam Ward, Senator McClendon, and Senator Jones, those are the four Republicans that voted for the amendment with the Democrats. It wasn't enough to pass it. So,
wait, give me those names again, please.
Del Marsh.
Okay.
Cam Ward, Senator McClendon, and Senator Jones.
Wow.
They voted with the Democrats. So I think it was 11 to whatever, 21 or something like that. Enough to pass that amendment. So the bill was passed in its original form by the end of the night.
How long was the debate?
The final vote, I believe, was taken at 8:44.
It started at 4, so it went 4 hours and 44 minutes then.
Yeah, approximately. Yep, they started right around 4 o'clock.
Let me see if Joey can pull up the NBC Nightly News clip of this.
Let's turn out of the debate raging in Alabama over what's considered the strictest abortion bill in the nation. It's setting the stage for a battle that could be destined for the U.S. Supreme Court. NBC's Stephanie Goss now with late details on that.
A standoff in the Alabama State House tonight.
This going to be unconstitutional.
Legislators debate changing a bill that, if passed, would make Alabama the first state to ban abortions at any stage of pregnancy since Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973.
It's life, it's a child. You know, you got to give it the opportunity to grow.
The bill makes performing an abortion a felony. Doctors would face up to 99 years in prison. So far, a serious health risk to the mother is the only exception. Some state legislators arguing for more in the cases of rape and incest. Either way, critics of the bill are up in arms.
It's absolutely ridiculous that a legal procedure is trying to be criminalized in Alabama. This is still legal federally, nationally.
It's unconstitutional.
The nation really paid attention to this Alabama bill compared to some of these others. I mean, Georgia is getting a lot of news, but everybody reported on this.
Yes, and this one is so different. A lot of the bills, there's been four, I think, that have just passed in the last few weeks that were heartbeat bills. You know, as soon as the heartbeat is detected, then you can't abort. But this one, this bill was specifically written, and it says as soon as it is known that the woman is pregnant. So as soon as she has a pregnancy test, you know, 2 weeks into getting pregnant, abortion is banned. So it definitely is the strictest abortion law on the books now. Well, it's not on the books yet. We're waiting for the governor to sign it, which I'm sure will happen anytime.
Let me play the second part of this NBC Nightly News story.
And that's the point, say supporters.
This bill's purpose is to hopefully get to the Supreme Court and have them revisit the actual decision, which was, is the baby in a womb a person?
It is the most recent and most extreme example of new state legislation challenging Roe v. Wade. 29 states have introduced different types of abortion restrictions in just the first 3 months of 2019. 7 states have passed new laws, including 4 that outlaw abortion 6 weeks after conception.
We've never seen anything like this in at least several decades. With the Supreme Court becoming more conservative, arguably more hostile to Roe versus Wade, pro-life forces are incredibly energized.
Lester, if the governor of Alabama signs this bill into law, any challenge to its constitutionality would have to wind its way through lower courts before winding up at the Supreme Court. It is a long process and it could take years.
Let me ask you something, Becky. Do you think that this is being well served by Terry Collins making such a point that it's going to go to the purpose of it is to go to the Supreme Court?
I'm sorry, what was the first part of that question?
Do you think Terry Collins is serving the situation well by stating time and time and time again that the purpose of the bill is for it to go to the Supreme Court?
Well, that was the purpose of the bill. They may want to thwart that because that's what she's saying. But, I mean, really, when you look at it, it is time. We have technology on our side. We have 4D ultrasound. We know children in the womb very early in their gestation feel pain. We know these things that we didn't know in 1973. And I think it is time to take a look at that original decision and weigh it against what we know now, especially when you think about dismemberment abortions. Knowing what we know, it is barbaric that we allow those awful ways of aborting a baby to happen, knowing they full well they can feel pain at that time.
See, so, and I think if it would have been stated that way, I think it would have had a different feel other than we're trying to get to the Supreme Court to get it overturned.
Well, too bad I couldn't be her spokesperson.
You would have been a great one.
Hey, I was going to let you know, though, if I recall correctly, I don't have the bill in front of me today. I actually left it at home because I thought, okay, we're done with this one now. I specifically left it on my desk when I left, and I had a BBC interview earlier today and wished I would have had it in front of me.
Oh, wow.
And for this reason, too, I want to tell you, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, this once the governor signs this bill, it does not go into effect for 6 more months. So just to let your listeners know, there is a little bit of a time before all hell's going to break loose, basically, for it to go into effect.
Yeah, I think Clyde said it takes effect in October.
Okay, then that's about right. Yeah, about 6 months. Well, actually, that's a little less than 6 months, but April would have been 6 months. April to October, 6 months. So,
well, Becky, I really appreciate you calling in today.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm really looking forward to the fun time tomorrow night.
See you then, Becky.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. News Channel 93.1. Dan Moore Show will be back right after this.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? 3 men and a lady. Mornings 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
Have you ever thought you'd like to own a zero-turn riding mower, but you just couldn't justify it because either your yard is too small or the price is too big? Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power, introducing the new Hustler Dash. At only 34 inches wide, the Hustler Dash is perfect for small yards, And starting at only $21.99 or payments as low as $50 per month, it's the perfect price. Bottom line, the Hustler Dash is the most compact and affordable zero turn on the market today. And when you purchase our exclusive VIP package, for as long as you own your Hustler, you'll get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower to use while yours is in our service department. And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com, where for 20 years we support what we sell.
We know that local business drives the local economy. Without local business, there is no Montgomery. As a locally owned business, we at Blue Water work hard every day to support local business.
Hey, this is Kika with Boost Mobile. We've been advertising through Blue Water Broadcasting for the past year. We've gotten great results. Our business has increased, and I would recommend them to anybody.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
When I passed you in the doorway, well, you took me with a glance. I should have took that last bus home, but I asked you for a dance.
272-9228, reminder, Dr. David Sorensen's going to be joining us. We've got some stuff going on over in Iraq, and we want to get filled in on that. Some really big stuff here. Let's listen in. And Nancy Cord is talking about Donald Trump Jr. having to testify.
President Trump's oldest son will return to Capitol Hill to testify in a Senate committee's Russia investigation. Donald Trump Jr. will appear next month. He was given a subpoena last week after skipping requests to testify. Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill.
Here's the compromise they worked out. Trump Jr. will show up, but he'll only be questioned for between 2 to 4 hours behind closed doors by the Senate Intelligence Committee. This agreement struck after the White House and other Republicans criticized the committee's Republican chair, Richard Burr, for issuing a subpoena to compel Trump Jr. to testify. Burr has told colleagues that he had no choice after Trump Jr. backed out of plans for a voluntary interview. The committee has questions about some of the things that Trump Jr. told Congress the last time he was here, about his meeting with a Russian lawyer and about a potential Trump Tower Moscow deal back in 2016. His answers didn't always match up with what the president's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, and others told Congress. And that's why some Republicans, like Lindsey Graham, are recommending that Trump Jr. show up in mid-June and simply take the fifth and exercise his right to avoid self-incrimination. Now CBS News has also confirmed that the House Intelligence Committee is probing whether lawyers for the president and his family may have obstructed that committee's Russia investigation by trying to shape the testimony of some of the witnesses, including the president's former lawyer, Michael Cohen.
They just cannot let go. Let's go to a break and come back. We'll have Dr. David Sorensen. We'll be talking about what's going on in Iraq, which begins with an advisory from the State Department for American personnel non-essential to get out. We'll be back with Dr. David Sorensen right after this.
When I passed you in the doorway, well, you took me with a glance. I should have took that last bus home, but I asked you for a dance. Now we go steady to
the Dan Morris Show.
I always get chocolate stains on my pants,
And my father, he's going crazy. He says I'm living in a trance. But I'm dancing in the moonlight. It's got me in the spotlight.
It's alright.
Dancing in the moonlight. On this long, hot summer night.
Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham introduces an immigration reform bill in the Senate.
I do four things that are required to stop this humanitarian crisis and threat to our sovereignty.
He'd set up refugee processing centers in Central America and Mexico for people seeking asylum, allow asylum-seeking families to be held together for 100 days here, not 20, add 500 new immigration judges, and make it so unaccompanied minors from Central America can be returned to their countries. His bill's called the Secure and Protect Act of 2019. Alabama's Governor Kay Ivey has 6 days to sign or veto a bill banning almost all abortions.
Alabama state senators did pass a bill that would charge doctors with felonies should they perform abortions at any time, unless the mother's life is in jeopardy. The bill's authors fully admit it's a challenge to Roe v. Wade. The bill doesn't even make exceptions for rape or incest cases.
That's Evan Brown. This is Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Our phenomenal string of storm-free days continues. Today, sunshine will dominate. Still rather low humidity with a high temperature in the lower 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, not quite as cool as we have been, but still comfortable. I think we go down to 62 for the low tonight, into the mid-80s tomorrow with mostly sunny skies. Rain chances just about nil. I've got them at 10%. Friday and Saturday, it's starting to feel more like summer. A little bit more humidity, high temperatures 88 to 90 both days. Not much change on Sunday, although I think by Sunday evening there could be an isolated shower in the area. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASE Credit Union. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASE Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Overnight, the State Department ordered all non-emergency U.S. Embassy and consulate employees in Iraq to leave. That follows rising tensions with Iran, Iraq's neighbor. President Trump dismissed a report that his national security team is reviewing a plan for more than 100,000 U.S. troops to confront Iran. David Martin is at the Pentagon, where officials suspect the Iranians are behind sabotage attacks on oil tankers.
In addition to ordering all diplomatic personnel, all non-essential diplomatic personnel out of Baghdad, the U.S. is also warning all Americans that it is too dangerous to travel to Iraq. President Trump touted at a campaign rally what is becoming one of the hallmarks of his America First foreign policy.
We're now holding dangerous regimes accountable by denying them oil revenue to fund their corruption, oppression, and terror.
But Iran remains dangerous. U.S. officials say it is highly likely Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards were responsible for Sunday's attacks that blew holes in the hulls of Saudi and Norwegian tankers anchored just outside the Persian Gulf. Iranian combat divers are believed to have attached explosives to the hull. But an Arab diplomat told CBS News further investigation is needed, and Secretary of State Pompeo was unwilling to publicly blame Iran.
I don't have anything to add concrete about the connection between the actions in Iran. I think in the coming hours and days we'll know the answer to that.
The U.S. has already sent an aircraft carrier and B-52 bombers to the Persian Gulf, but President Trump denied reported plans to send as many as 120,000 more troops.
Would I do that? Absolutely.
But we have not planned for that. And if we did that, we'd send a hell of a lot more troops than that.
On Capitol Hill, Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine blasted the president's thinking.
It would be the height of idiocy. It would be unconstitutional. There's no way this president should get us into a war with Iran.
Iran has vehemently denied any involvement in the attacks and accused President Trump of playing a very dangerous game, risking devastating war.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. When we have issues in the Middle East, you know who we call. We call Dr. David Sorensen. Dr. Sorensen, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Well, in looking at this report, this is just amazing to me. We're basically pulling people out of Baghdad and other major areas. I think we have a consulate in another city. That would have to be a pretty high threat level, wouldn't it, to do that?
I don't know. I'm looking at the evidence because that's what I do. I you go back and you look for the evidence. And so far, nobody has presented even the slightest hint of what the threat is. Now, I understand information is classified. I've got those clearances. I understand that. But normally when something like this begins to build, whatever administration is in power offers up something. We've heard of drone strikes. We've heard of attacks on tankers. I've seen one picture of one slash in one tanker. No damage on the others that I've seen. I'm not saying it didn't happen. But what I'm looking for is something other than the administration's claim of threats. I find it interesting that Saudi Arabia has really not said very much. Israel has not really said very much, and the United Arab Emirates have not really said very much. So I'm not sure what's going on at this point. I would like to see more evidence before I conclude that the administration is, in fact, correct.
Several things that say on the drone strikes. The picture that I saw in the article I read had a map of Saudi Arabia, and they had this outside of Riyadh, which is way within the interior of the country. Do they have the capability of getting a drone that far in?
No. And here's what's interesting about the drone strikes. There have been a couple, and there was an attack against the United Arab Emirates. And they managed to get the drone, pieces of the drone, and they reconstructed it. And what they found was it was not an Iranian-made drone. It was made by the Al-Houthi in Yemen. And apparently what they did was to order parts online, including electronic parts, a guidance motor, and they managed to tap into existing satellites to guide the drone. In other words,
wow.
This is a homemade drone that was sophisticated enough to fly from somewhere in Yemen to not only Riyadh, but also right outside the airport in Dubai.
Now, but Yemen's at the south of Saudi Arabia, so that would be hundreds upon hundreds of miles, wouldn't it?
Yes. This is a very sophisticated operation. But you can build a drone that will travel that far. To get it from Iran, no. But again, as they looked at the parts, we have copies of Iranian-made drones, and this drone did not match those Iranian-made drones. Again, the stuff had apparently been bought online. You can buy enough equipment to actually build your own drone with publicly available items that you can get. And you can tap into a satellite if you understand kind of what frequencies to use and what time to use. The only problem is they don't land. You need to have better guidance systems. Apparently, once these drones were launched, they just crashed. But that's what's really interesting. It appears that the Houthi, who are at war with Saudi Arabia, and who are at war with the United Arab Emirates, as well as with the forces the U.S. and those countries are supporting in Yemen, they're the ones who built the drone. It is certainly possible that they used that drone to strike at least the Norwegian tanker. That one I've seen an attack on. But that would be a long ways from the Iranians being able to do that. Now, I've heard stories also that it could have been Iranian swimmers who attached mines. But what doesn't make any sense is the attacks occurred outside of the Straits of Hormuz. That would be an awfully long way for somebody to swim. So my sense is that you, I've been out in those waters, and they're not fun waters. They can be awfully choppy. And so my sense is that the attacks that we can attribute most likely came from the Iranian-supported Houthi in Yemen. But I would emphasize the Iranians have been very cautious about supporting these guys, not because they're good guys, but because this is in Saudi Arabia's backyard. And Iran doesn't need to provoke Saudi Arabia to begin striking at Iran itself. So my sense is, so far, what has happened is much more the responsibility of the Shia Houthi, who are Arabs, in Yemen than they are from Iran. But again, show me the evidence, and I will take an objective look at it and see where it takes us.
Are the Houthis agents of Iran?
No. The Houthi have been there since the 8th century. They're of a different Shia tribe, if you will, than the Iranians. They follow a different imam. They speak Arabic. They don't speak Persian. And that's a big breach in the Middle East. And when they first decided to begin to expand out of northern Yemen, the Iranians told them no. We don't want you to do this. First of all, you're not exactly like us, and we don't want to be blamed for whatever happened. The Houthi went anyway, and Iran was sort of forced to give them supplies. Now, they have been supplied. There's no question that Iranian stuff has come in, and some of the ballistic missiles that they have fired towards Saudi Arabia are most likely Iranian components. So, again, nobody has clean hands on this, but for Iran to take the kind of risk that they would in supporting the Houthi in Yemen more fully than they have is a risk that Iran, I don't think, wants to take. And there's a couple of factors here. After the Trump administration reimposed sanctions, over 100 international companies left Iran. They're not investing anymore. And the Iranian economy declined by 3.4%. That's probably one of the steepest declines in the world, with the exception of Syria. So for Iran to want to pick a fight now really doesn't make a lot of sense. They're bogged down in Yemen. They're running out of money to support their proxies in Syria. And they're increasingly getting criticized for the support of Hezbollah in Yemen. So in Lebanon. So for them to try to provoke a conflict now strategically just doesn't make any sense. But again, I would like to see more evidence.
Well, Iran said that they thought it was Israel, but it's normally, blame everything Israel did it type thing. Tell me your intuition of what do you think's happening here?
Well, I think a couple of things are happening.
Okay.
National Security Advisor John Bolton has long lobbied for, as he put it, putting Iran in a corner. Now, again, there's a report coming out from one of the papers that new Secretary of Defense Shanahan has ordered 120,000 troops into the region, apparently on the apparent request of Bolton, who himself has announced the arrival of a carrier group. I think John Bolton is becoming more influential. This is someone that President Bush couldn't get confirmation for as U.N. ambassador. He had to do an off-cycle appointment. Even the Republicans in the Senate wouldn't vote for Bolton because they thought he was too reckless.
Right.
So I think this may be a part of the growing influence of John Bolton. I suspect Saudi Arabia may be involved as well, because Saudi Arabia has been embarrassed by the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. And this may be another something for them to go, okay, look the other way. Because, again, strategically, it just doesn't make any sense for Iran to really be provoking a war. I agree with it is foolish to blame Israel. The Israelis are much more concerned about the Palestinian situation right now. Netanyahu was reelected narrowly, and is now focusing on taking territory in the Palestinian area. He's concerned about Hamas. They had a pretty brutal struggle with Hamas just a couple of weeks ago. So it doesn't make any sense for Netanyahu to want to provoke Iran on top of his new problems the Palestinians. I don't think it's just the Israelis' fault either. I know it is easy to blame the Israelis for everything. I think that's nonsense.
One thing that I kind of noticed is that one of the reports said there could have been possible divers that put some type of explosive on the ship, but they put the explosive above the waterline of the one I saw, and I would think that if you can put an explosive on something, you put it at the hull to try to create as much damage as possible.
Absolutely. I know something about that because of my previous experience in Vietnam. We had ships sunk with limpet mines in the Long Tao River. My job was to make sure that didn't happen. I obviously didn't do a very good job because, quite frankly, we lost the ship. So that's exactly right. You put it below the water line, and that way the water magnifies the concussion, and, of course, the water will then rush in and disable the ship. You don't put it above the water line. So, again, an attack above the water line can be done by a drone. You can aim drones at ships. It's not that hard to do. But, again, the drones, if they were used to attack these ships, and, again, I've only seen one ship damaged, the range from Yemen is much more logical than the range from Iran. It would be awfully hard to hit a ship outside the Straits of Hormuz in the what we call the Arabian Gulf from Iran, but you certainly could do it from Yemen. So again, I see this as an attack probably by the al-Houthi. Iran does support them, and again, nobody's got clean hands at this. But I think that to attribute it directly to Iran just doesn't make strategic sense.
That's interesting. So so do you think there's a third party that might be doing this to try to draw the U.S. and Saudi Arabia into something?
Well, the other possibility is the not-yet-dead so-called Islamic State. They have been defeated territorially. And again, American forces, Kurdish forces, and some of the Shia militias have done a tremendous job in defeating this monstrosity. But they haven't gone away. They have turned to terrorist attacks. And again, we saw that a couple of weeks ago on the tragic Easter Sunday bombing in Sri Lanka that the so-called Islamic State took credit for. Now, have they also morphed into the ability to attack ships? They are a mortal enemy of Saudi Arabia. It is important to note that they have declared Saudi Arabia as an apostate regime, despite its conservative brand of Islam. So it could be a third group. Again, what we need are fingerprints, and it's hard. When you attack a ship, particularly from a drone, or even if it was some kind of a diver, we need fingerprints, and we just don't have them yet. And I understand it's logical to point the finger of blame at Iran. Iran has certainly done things that have been way against the national interest of the U.S., of Israel, of Saudi Arabia. But again, one looks for the strategic reason, and again, I'm just not saying it. It certainly could have been some third party.
Dr. Sorensen, I have a short break. Can you hang on for me, please?
Absolutely. Be happy to.
I'm going to be back. Dan Moore Show with Dr. David Sorensen right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Udell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, it's Kristen Cavallari, and if you haven't seen Paradise Hotel, Fox's new hit dating competition, you are missing a total disaster piece. Sexy singles are trying to get some action without getting the axe, because the last couple standing wins a huge cash prize. And tonight, the guys are going to get the power, and you know what that means. Yep. Lip-locking, backstabbing, hair-pulling drama. Don't miss the sexy train wreck that is Paradise Hotel.
Tonight on Fox 20. This May.
Time to turn up with the people we love, our fans. All month long, we're treating our fans like the VIPs you are.
VIP Month on The Real.
With more hotline bling across the country.
We want to give you this money, honey.
Bigger games and bigger wins. Thousands of dollars.
Plus,
a daily mayhem giveaway.
We're pulling out all the stops for you and you and you and you.
weekdays at 3 on Fox 20.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, Dr. David Sorensen on the phone with us today. Dr. Sorensen, you've been to Iraq, and I assume that you've been to the embassy in Baghdad?
I have.
What? How vulnerable is that embassy, in your opinion? And because to do a personnel thing like that, that normally, I mean, you're pretty high up on the threat level.
Well, here's the thing. The embassy and all other U.S. Facilities in Baghdad are in the notorious or famous Green Zone.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of the most heavily protected areas in the world. Now, we did close the consulate at Erbil, which is actually up in the Kurdish area. That has been shut down, and they're no longer issuing visas. To withdraw people from the Green Zone, to me, strategically, makes no sense. You're saying a couple of things. You're saying, well, we're really not secure, despite the fact that we have really spent billions of dollars securing the Green Zone. But... you know, this may be part of an effort to telegraph the growing threat, real or not, to lead to further escalation. I don't know. I found that extremely surprising because, again, you can't get into the Green Zone without going through layer after layer after layer of security, and it takes a long time to get in there. So again, I am very surprised that they would evacuate the Green Zone. I would like to see a little bit more evidence. The other thing that is interesting is that while Iraq does have a majority Shia population, the Green Zone is outside the Shia area. And one of the problems is that they really watch the Shia as they approach the Green Zone for exactly that reason. So I am more than a little bit surprised that they made this announcement to evacuate what they call non-essential personnel from Baghdad. That is very surprising.
Do people live within the Green Zone, or do they live outside the Green Zone?
No, you live inside the Green Zone. Everything is in the Green Zone. So the quarters are in the Green Zone. The stores are in the Green Zone. You don't have to go out the Green Zone. In fact, you have to get special permission to leave the Green Zone. Even if you're going to the airport, you require a convoy. So again, it is extremely secure. It's the only more secure place I found was a base in Saudi Arabia that takes almost an hour to get in. And the former U.S. Embassy in Yemen, which took an hour and a half to get in. So these are all very, very, very secure. And the inner ring of that security is all Americans. These are highly trained, specialized forces who do a very good job of screening before you get there and screen you as you try to get in.
So we don't use a lot of Iraqi nationals there?
Not in the inner zone. The Iraqi nationals have the outer zone. The same in all countries. You go through Saudi Arabians and Yemeni first, and then your last contact before you get into the inner part of the Green Zone where the American facilities are, those are all American. And some of them wear uniforms, some of them don't. They all have earpieces. They're all very well trained. Some of the best security forces in the world.
Well, I'm definitely detecting your pessimism on this whole thing. And I just put it straight out there. Do you think that this is kind of made up in a sense?
I hope it's not. I hope it's not. But again, there's experience. And there's a wonderful book by John Mearsheimer at the University of Chicago called Why Leaders Lie. FDR lied about a German submarine attack in 1941, trying to get the United States more involved. We know LBJ lied about the Tonkin
Gulf. Oh, yeah.
You know, we've got those papers. He blatantly lied in order to get the United States unconditionally committed in Vietnam. And unfortunately, we know that George W. Bush did not tell the truth when it came to Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. The tragedy is that Saddam Hussein turned out to be more honest than our leadership. And that's a tragedy. And here's the real problem. the credibility of U.S. leadership in the region is especially low. And I'm getting texts from former students who were very pro-American, who lived in that region, saying, we don't trust the Americans anymore. So the danger is that we do escalate for whatever reason, to weaken Iran even more, to for domestic political reasons. I don't mean to be paranoid. I base my analysis on evidence, not particular political positions. But we've seen this before. And the concern is that for whatever domestic reason, or whether or not this is just John Bolton, who again has always been known as a hyper hawk, getting more influence in the Trump administration, I don't know. What may be limiting are two things. President Trump himself criticized the protracted, expensive, and brutal wars the previous administration got into or sustained. And I think he was correct. You know, the Obama administration promised to withdraw forces from all these places, and in the end, that didn't turn out very well.
Right.
I think the criticism, I think that the president's early statements and questioning about long wars abroad is exactly correct. Were the United States to either slip into war or to engage in war with Iran, it would be an awful war. The Iraqis and the Iranians fought between 1981 and 1988, and the Iranians took what we think, 200,000, 300,000 dead, and they still survived, and they kept on fighting. This would not be an easy war. It's a much bigger country than Iraq. It's got 80 million plus people. Iraq had 25, 30 million. They will fight diligently. It is, to me, this is just not the right war at the right time. And my hope is that President Trump begins to listen to somebody else. I think the Joint Chiefs of Staff are going to point this out to him, that this we're already committed in Iraq. We've still got forces in Afghanistan. We've still got border security. We've got a lot of missions. We need to modernize our force. The last thing we need to do is get involved in a war that we just don't strategically need. Military tends to be very cautious. The military has resisted. Even before the Vietnam War, the Joint Chiefs of Staff looked at it and said, I'm not sure we want to do this, Mr. President. And we recall Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Powell, before the Iraq War in 1990-91, going, I'm not really sure that let's let the embargo work. And he was overruled and served admirably. But military tends to be very hesitant to fight a war a long ways away with a long logistics trail coming on top of previous wars that we're still paying for because we're still having to buy the equipment that we've worn out in previous wars. So I think the military may try to convince the president that you really need to be careful on this because we can blunder into a war that probably is not strategically viable for the United States.
One of the things that's most telling to me, to my group, when we were talking last night, is no one has gone to brief the Gang of Eight on this.
Right.
And that says something, they either don't have it all or something's happening there. Dr. Sorensen, I really appreciate you calling in today. You have been so very informative.
I appreciate you having me, Dan. This is such an important topic, and I appreciate you letting the folks in the River Region know about it. Thank you.
Thank you. News 93.1, Reminder, Dan Black Studios, you need those videos turned over digitally.